Always keeping the main thing the main thing. Thanking God for Jesus Christ. Thanking God for the Holy Spirit. Thanking God for his angels. Thanking God for the church. Thanking God for this congregation. Thanking God for the leaders of this congregation. Thanking God for this day. Another day that he gave to us, that he didn't have to do it, but he gave it to us because he loved us. And we ought to be thankful to God for this. Once again, good morning. I hope everybody is well. And I hope and pray that something said this morning made you will make you better for having come. Our lesson is taken from the book of Job, the 42nd chapter. What was read to you was verse 5, but I would like to read from verse 1 through verse 6. Job, the 42nd chapter, verses 1 through 6. And it reads, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Verse 5, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of ears, but now mine eyes see thee." My subject this morning, now I know. Now I know. Verse 5 of Job 42, it teaches the transformative power of encountering God. It highlights the shift from hearing about God to truly seeing and understanding him, leading to a deeper, more personal faith. The verse signifies a move from intellectual knowledge to spiritual insight and a profound change in perspectives. The phrase "hearing of the ear" signifies that Job's previous understanding of God was based on secondhand knowledge, hearsay, of what he had been told. This referred to knowledge gained through a report, traditions, or what others have said. In the ancient Near East, oral tradition was a primary way of transmitting knowledge. Job's initial understanding of God was likely based on this. Job said, "But now my eyes seest thee." This signifies a direct and personal experience of God. It's not necessarily a literal or physical sight, but rather a deeper, more profound understanding that comes from an encountering with God's presence. "Because no man has seen God and lived," according to Exodus 33 and 20. Job's statement indicates that a shift from a more distant theory of the knowledge of God to an intimate and personal one. This transformation is a key theme to Job's journey. Once again, Job acknowledged that he had only heard about God through tradition and the account of others, but now he has experienced God directly. This is a shift from relying on secondhand information to a personal and direct encounter with the divine. Job's statement, "I had heard of you by the hearing of the ears, but now my eyes see you," implies a deeper, more profound understanding of God's character and his ways. Job's confession of ignorance and repentance is a result of this transformation experience, leading him to recognize his limitations and God's infinite wisdom. This verse emphasizes that encountering God leads to a change in one's perspective, one's faith, and one's understanding of oneself and the world, understanding ourselves and others better. A personal relationship with God is very important. Job highlighted the difference between hearing about God and truly experiencing Him. While knowledge of God can come from others and scriptures, a genuine encounter with Him provides deeper and a more profound faith. A personal encounter with God can bring spiritual insight, revelation, and transformation. Experiencing God's firsthand can lead to a deeper understanding and appreciation of His character and purpose, changing of our perspective as it did for Job. We begin finding satisfaction in God amidst suffering. The story of Job shows that a relationship with God can bring peace and satisfaction, even without understanding the reasons for suffering. Comfort and strength can be found in trials by focusing on who God is, rather than only seeking answers to questions or situations. Seeing God more clearly can lead to a deeper awareness of personal limitation and shortcoming, as with Job. This relation can inspire a human attitude and lead to repentance for past mistakes or misguided perspectives. This verse can be taught today, focusing on the idea that true faith isn't just about what we've been told or learned, but about encountering God's personal and personally and allowing that experience to shape our understanding. Job's experience shows that suffering can lead to a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. Faith is more than just knowing facts about God. It's about experiencing His presence and power. Job's response after seeing God is one of repentance and humility, acknowledging his limited understanding. Job recognizes God's power and wisdom even in the midst of suffering. Job admits his ignorance and repent for speaking without knowledge. Job recognizes God's all encompassing power, and that no purpose of God can be thwarted or hindered. Job's words demonstrate a turning away from his previous complaints and turning toward God. Job learns to accept that some things are beyond humans' understanding and to trust in God's wisdom. We don't know God until we experience Him. Someone has said, hearing of God provides a map, but knowing of God means embarking on the journey and experiencing the landscape firsthand. Remember the prodigal son. He said that he was blind, but now he sees. You see, the world was in his way. That example that this great book gives us about the prodigal son. The world was in his way and had him blinded. He couldn't see what was right. He wanted to know, but he didn't want to know through God's way. You see, we could either learn through God's way, or we could learn through our own way, or just learn through life's way. Are you with me? Some people, that's what they do. They just take their time and learn through life. But it's a way that seems right to a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. You see, because it's a must. It's not a, we shouldn't even have a choice when it comes to God. Are you with me? It should be a must. It's something that we must do. It's not a choice. It's something that we must do. We must believe God. We must believe God. And we don't know God until we experience Him. And the prodigal son experienced God. He said, once again, he said he was blind, But now he see. Paul thought he knew God through traditions and what he had heard and learned. But now on his way to Damascus, it said that he got blinded by Christ because of his traditions. But they said the scales fell off his eyes and he was able to see. Amen. You see, we live in a world that the devil has blinded many of our eyes. Are you with me? Because there's some things in this world that we shouldn't look at. There's some things in this world we shouldn't read. There's some places we shouldn't go. Are you with me? There's some things that we shouldn't say in this world, right? And if we're not careful, all these things could get us. We'd be saying the wrong thing, going the wrong places, doing the wrong things. Are you with me? Teaching the wrong things. But Paul, after those scales fell from his eyes, the first thing he'd done was start preaching. Amen? As soon as the scales fell from his eyes, we can connect that to Jesus. Before Jesus was baptized, he did so much. But after Jesus was baptized, there was no stopping. Paul, are you with me? After he was baptized, are you with me? There was no stopping him. Amen? You see, because he knew who God was. He didn't think who God was. He knew who God was. And we experience things in our lives. I'm sure that many of us has experienced some things in our lives that we say, that the only way we got through it is because of God. Are you with me? The only way we got through this is because of God. We have experienced some things. Some may not have. All I can say is you keep on living. Keep on living. And keep on believing. Are you with me? And God will, he will show up in these times that we really, really need him. And then after that point, we ought to say, I can't do it without God now. For what he's shown me today, I can't, there's no other way. There's no other way but God. But God. Knowing God is a cerebral exercise. We can't recount stories from the Holy Scripture unless his attributes and even defend his doctrine. But true knowledge of God, the kind that transfer lives and hearts, because beyond intellectual understanding, it goes beyond intellectual understandings. It dives deeper into personal experience and intimate connections. You see, we're gonna go through some things in life, as we stated before. But when we go through it, can we go through it with the Lord? David put it like this. He said, as I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In other words, David, he prepared us for this day, for these days, because we're in these days. These days are the days of the last days. And some stuff is going on now. Are you with me? That shouldn't be going on. Are you with me? We do have wars. We do have rumors of wars. We do have division in the churches. We do have division in marriages. We do have division in families. We do have divisions in nations. We have this going on now. But David said like this. He said, as I walk through this, he said, as I walk through this, I shall fear no evil. I'm not going to be afraid no more. Even unto death, I'm not going to be afraid no more. I'm not going to be afraid. As I walk through the valley, I know you are with me. You see, if we don't know God is with us, we're going to be afraid. We're going to be uncertain. We're not going to know what to do, to think, or where to go. Are you with me? And as I stated before, the Bible teaches us like this. It says in the last days, it's going to be some people who don't believe in God, but think they could buy their way. They're going to want to give a lot of money for somebody to, what, sprinkle some water on them and say, you're going to be all right. Come here, let me put some oil on you, right? You know, and you come back next week and you bring a couple thousand like you did this week. Huh? And you are going to heaven because you are a good giver. Are you with me? Ain't got nothing to do with his heart and how he understands God. It just got something to do with that green. Are you with me? And we know what the green is. Are you with me? The Bible teaches the love of money. Are you with me? It traps us. It gets us into a lot of mess. A lot of mess. The love of it. You know, we don't, sometimes, you know, we just know that if we play that number today, we're going to hit. You know, if we could just get to the store before it closed. Are you with me? And get that number in. Huh? We're going to be all right. And if I could get this million, right, I'm going to, what? I'm going to be a better person? Huh? You're going to take that million and try to get another million. Are you with me? And just get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. But knowing God, when we come to realize and know God, sometimes we know him through after sickness. You know, sometimes we have been to the point in sickness where and we were afraid. The doctor said that's it, no more. Are you with me? But God says, I didn't tell you that. And there was many more. Are you with me? That sometimes we you know, people steal from us and steal our life, you know, our life, our savings, right? And we it seemed like that's it. But here comes God into the picture and make everything all right. And people are saying, you just lost all your money and you smiling? Yes, I am. Yes, I am, because God. Are you with me? I have the joy of God, and no man can take this from me. Job showed us that. Job went through so much. He went through so much. He had 10 kids, and he lost all 10 of them. If we lose one, we freak out. Well, excuse the expression, but are you with me? We suffer for that. If one of our kids gets sick, we suffer for that. Are you with me? Job lost 10. Didn't even understand, right? Job lost his wealth. Are you with me? He lost his wealth. Job got sick. And these things happen right behind one another. Are you with me? But God was there. Even his wife said, listen, curse God and die. Don't suffer like this. This get out of the way. Job said, you speak like one of those women. You know, you speak like one of those foolish women. You say, don't talk like that. You know better than that. Are you with me? And Job, through all of that, Job persevered. And even he has some friends who didn't know. Some friends now. And we're going to have some friends who going to come to us with, you know, they said, this is why, you know, that's why. This is why, right? That's why. But maybe not. God is why. Are you with me? God is the why. He knows. Are you with me? Because we're going to go to fortune tellers to try to find information. We're going to go to soothsayers or whatever, you know, and to try to find out some information about things. I want to know how long I'm going to live. I want to know whether I can hit the number on the next go round. I want to know. I want to know who is this woman good enough for me to marry. I want to know if this boy good enough for me to marry. You tell me, soothsayer. Are you with me? God didn't put that on our hearts, his children's hearts. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. That's what he told us. That's what he told us, right? We don't have to, you know, go to the soothsayer and spend our money on, you know, on getting a number or getting a husband, right? You know, and then we're going to tell other people, man, I went to the soothsayer, she got me a boyfriend and a half, you know? And I'm so, oh, girl, you ought to go. You ought to go, because this woman, she know how to, you know, are you with me? But people believe that. They believe in things like that. You see, but we believe in God. We believe in God, and we wait upon the Lord. Sometimes it's a long wait. Sometimes we say, God, you know, I've been asking for this for the longest now. You ain't showed up yet. I'm going to have to go out and do it myself. I'm going to have to go out and do it myself, Lord. But God is saying, no, that's what the devil wants you to do. Think that you can do it yourself. You see? He thinks that. But like I said, God shows up at these times when sometimes, like I said, we're sick or we're down and out. But he shows up and gives us life. And we ask ourselves, how? How? You know? It's just like yesterday and years ago. We our soul look back and wonder how I got over. How I got over. In closing. That's a good part, right? In closing. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and know me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 9:23-24. I hope something said this morning that made you better for having come. If you are here and you are not a member, there's a way to become. There's the way to become the members. You must hear God's word. You can't get around it. You must hear God's word. What is God's word? That Jesus came from heaven. God gave us the best thing out of heaven, and Jesus came on this earth and he was born through a virgin, a fleshly virgin. He lived a fleshly life. He suffered and he died on that cross. But on the third day he woke up. He rose with all powers in his hands. That's what we hear. We must believe that what we heard. We must repent of our way. And once again, like I said, repenting don't just mean to stop. Because if you go in this way and you stop, you're still turning that way. Repent means to turn around. Are you with me? Not just to stop. Because like I said, when we stop, we're still heading that direction. That means we just stop it for a little while. Are you with me? And we're going to go on. But when we repent, we turn around. You must confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You must be baptized in water for remission of sin. You must stay faithful in God's grace. You must come to worship. You must give. You must teach. You must pray. Amen? But of all of these, it's some more musts, right? But it'll take me a whole longer time, and I know you're ready to go. But anyway, but the most important must is you must love. You really cannot get around that one. You must love. Amen? If you're here and you are a member of God's church and you are in need of prayer, as we together stand and sing the song that was appointed, you may ask for prayers at this time. God bless you.